Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad to get to your phone calls. But I want you to consider this. Does Ukraine have a chance against Russia and what's going on now without a lot of help from NATO? And I thought I'd put that question to a man who's got all kinds of background, U.S. Army Brigadier General retired, Peter Zwack, served as a military intelligence officer and a foreign area officer, and he's the author of the book Swimming the Volga, a U.S. Army officer's experience in pre-Putin Russia. General, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Lars, for bringing me on. Good evening to your viewers, or good afternoon.
Thank you for that. Can I ask, is Peter Janos Zwack your father, right? Your late father?
Thank you for asking. That was my father.
And he was in the spirits business before the communists took over Hungary.
That's right. And then he came back to Hungary after the wall fell.
And he escaped Hungary with the secret recipe to your family's product, and another family member, Bella. Was that your mom, or was that your?
That was my it was my uncle, his brother. It's a long story, but yeah, they got the formula of our family elixir in Hungary out. And that is a story in itself.
Okay, well, we'll have you on another time to talk about that, because Bella Zwack stayed behind to give the commies a fake recipe, and the real recipe got out with your dad. Okay, it's got to be a story we get to some other time. But General, tell me this: you served as a U.S. Army officer and you dealt with the pre-Putin Russia, and I'm taking that to be the Soviet Russia. Does Ukraine have a chance against Russia in this situation without a whole lot of help from the West?
Yeah. At first, just a point of clarification.
Yes.
Yes, I was in the Cold War Army from 1980-89. I was in the Soviet Union as one of the American officers who got an opportunity to study in Russia as with Gorbachev and everything was falling apart. Then, I've been in there in and out for 33 years, most recently finished as our defense attaché to Moscow, United States. And now I'm watching all of this. And Lars, your question is, you know, it defies comprehension and it is really, really dangerous. The Ukrainians have been putting up a fight for the modern ages that certainly the Russians didn't anticipate in their arrogance and disdain to a country they don't really believe should exist. It should be part of Greater Russia and the old empire. And they've been completely misread the Ukrainians, who have a long history. No, they're twined in many ways, but if you ever wanted to discern a unity, a identity, the Russians have just really, really reinforced that in the Ukrainians. Yeah, this is going to be a hard, long, bitter fight. This, in many ways, is Ukraine's revolutionary war. And they're out there in the countryside, and they're raising hell for the invaders and the occupiers. And this is going to go on, and it's going to be bloody. It is bloody, and it's going to get worse and worse. And I believe that the Ukrainians have the Russians and the Ukrainians have each other in a mutual chokehold. What I mean, the longer the Ukrainians hang on as the Russians bombard them and just are merciless and havoc, and the Ukrainians just chip away at them with the small arms for providing and everything else, and that this is starting to create a rupture inside of Russia. And we're beginning to see that. That would be the revenge of the Ukrainians. The tragedy is that they've got to hold out to make that part happen. And we have to be so careful, Lars and friends. My heart says we should intervene. No fly zone. Send fighters. But this is a lethal situation.
For the world.
Secretary, and we got to be careful.
Well, I mean, we could end up in World War III. In fact, Zelensky, apparently in an interview, you know, he did this presentation to Congress earlier this week, but he said we may already be in World War III. We just haven't seen it full blown yet. Is that where we're headed?
Well, I think that if you take a look at relations and the economics and the politics and all of that, almost everything short of the kinetic fight, which we want to send the Marines and the cavalry, we've got to be so careful. World War III is a strong word, but we certainly are in a more than a shadow, cold, increasingly chillier and dangerous conflict, war.
No doubt. General, tell me this. What is it? I've read so many pieces in the last week or so. I can't find anybody who thinks they know for absolute certain what it is Putin wants to achieve here.
I think that, and this is the, I think none of us can, I will throw this at it. Over time, he's always, he was, remember that Soviet KGB case officer in East Germany when it all collapsed in 1989 to 90. He leaves, he gets out, he goes to Russia, he's in Soviet Union, he's in Leningrad, and then sees the Soviet Union collapse at Christmas Day after 1991.
Yep.
And that's all emotional scar tissue. And I think, and then it doesn't go well in the 1990s. That's what the period I write my book about, because I was there.
Swimming the Volga.
Swimming the Volga, thank you. And there is sort of there's almost a growing, and it's scary, fanatic obsession that he has about piecing back together the old Soviet Union and parts of the empire, not necessarily owning it all, but dominance. And then Ukraine, and then, of course, there's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, of which I'm a fervent believer, and boy, are we glad we have that today. We don't have the time to get into the story, but it never wanted to be a military threat to the Russians, and certainly Putin sees them as sort of a modern-day German Wehrmacht of 1941 and the Nazis, and he paints that picture, and he gets the Russian population all amped up. And these countries that have joined NATO all desperately wanted to be in NATO. They wanted to be in a real security frame. That didn't mean attacking Russia. So here we are today, and they've gone into Ukraine to make sure that Ukraine never is part of any Western thing, and to bring, if you will, Ukraine under Russian dominance, which is really what Putin, I think, believes. It should always. It was wrong that it wasn't. And the Ukraine shocked him by putting a modern-day fight for the ages. And the Russians have hit, in my mind, yes, they can crush it in any individual battle. But imagine they've just taken a baseball bat to a nest of hornets. And those hornets are tormenting them all over the country. And they're going to stay in the fight between Army, between National Guard, between Home Guard, and hundreds of thousands, if you will, militia, armed with just Kalashnikov. This is going to be hell on Russian supply columns, trucks, all the stuff that feeds and supply war. And a lot of those Russian soldiers are miserable and did not know what they were getting into, were forced this Kool-Aid, and now they are fighting for their lives, and they're really wondering what the hell is going on and why we are doing that. And to end, And I think that's why we see this slow, halting offensive, because it's just not just supplies. It's getting their troops focused, who don't
yeah.
want to go into a fight for an urban area like Kyiv, which would be horrendous.
The book is called Swimming the Volga, U.S. Army Officers' Experience in Pre-Putin Russia. And General Zwack, it'll be a pleasure to have you back. We'll make this a longer visit next time. Thank you very much. That's U.S. Army Brigadier General Peter Zwack, who served as a military intelligence officer and a foreign officer and the author of Swimming the Volga. We'll be back in a moment. 866-HEY-LARS. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network.